that is brutal, huh? The silence there for whatever reason, and we know why we're doing it, but like,
imagine if somebody walked in and it was just four dudes in absolute silence.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me of my airing of grievances for this episode.
Silence. Fuck that shit. Yeah. Man. What is it even for?
my thing is I'm fine with uncomfortable. Not uncomfortable. I'm fine with silences, but it can be uncomfortable for some people. I get it. But
there's one guy at work that does not like silence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you're listening right now, you know who you are.
Oh. No, there's the person who has to make small talk, but then it's like there's nothing there. Like, hey, did you watch that one movie with the one guy that came out that one time? I'm like, oh fuck.
Probably.
Be like, yeah, I watched Skyscraper.
Yeah, Jason knows how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But like, man, that shit's excruciating. Like, I'm like, oh, you know, small talk's not obligatory. Like, we can just hang out in silence. But that's the thing is,
like, yeah, let's talk about Schindler's List for the next 30 minutes. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm totally fine. We can talk for hours, or we can just be quiet next to each other, and I'm 100% fine one way or the other. But when people like when at work, when you're kind of, you get cornered with like, I can kind
of conversation you just don't even want to be like, part of.
Fuck. Yeah. Where like I can sense it that they're whatever, feeling awkward with the silence, and then I'm like, oh fuck, they're engaging, and then it's actually recently it's kind of appropriate to this episode. We're going to be covering some Star Wars stuff, but hey, you excited about the Star Wars show that's coming out, the Obi-Wan Kenobi? I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, man, yeah. What's, Aaron McMuffin, whoever the, yeah, he's great. But who are the other two guys that were, that played Obi-Wan? I'm like, two guys.
Is this Jason that you're talking to?
Oh, shit. I didn't realize he was right there. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm trying to like be polite and just kind of like, uh-huh, yeah. And I was trying to think, and I couldn't think of what was the sir. This is me being serious now, but I can't think of the name of the actor that played Obi-Wan in the original movie.
Yeah.
It was a sir something.
Ian McKellen.
Yeah, yeah, okay, we'll go with Ian McKellen. So, yeah. Sir Ian McKellen, the OG Obi-Wan, and then
Alec McGinnis.
Yes, thank you. And then Eric McMuffin, which is the most current one that was in the prequels,
mm-hmm.
Ewan McGregor. I wasn't going to correct this person. And then they're trying to figure out who the third person was, and I was like, oh, fuck.
There's a third?
A third person, unless you count, like, the Clone Wars cartoon actor, but who the fuck is that person? And I'm just trying to, like, fucking, like, detach, like, uncouple from this conversation, and he's just like, no, it was... And I was like, fuck, man, like, I can get in there and start correcting you, but then you're going to fucking... This person... It's a little too sensitive, but he's the one that fucking cornered me into this bullshit fucking conversation. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, small talk's not obligatory. We can be fine without. So that's my airing of grievances. It's like, if you got small talk, like, let's. And it's usually because they know we talk movies and stuff, so that they want to be part of that too. Mm-hmm. But then they come in with zero. They come in with like, yeah, that one guy and that one. Okay, was it good? Not really. Then what the fuck are you? Why are you bringing this up? Like, so you don't know who was in it. You don't know the name of the movie.
I want to eat an Egg McMuffin right now for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're right, yeah. And then Ewan McGregor is, yeah, somehow. But anyway, so that's my errand agreement.
I find that silence is best accompanied by, like, constant unflinching eye contact.
Yeah, it's not uncomfortable at all. Yeah,
it's so weird. It's
perfect. I wonder if that third Obi-Wan Kenobi was talking about me in my basement late one night.
Mm. Yeah,
when you were practicing your moves,
mm-hmm. and lightsaber moves.
But yeah. My version of Obi-Wan Kenobi just wears tighty whities and like a Rambo headband.
Oh, mm-hmm. Is that like an alternate universe Obi-Wan?
Yeah. And one of those lightsabers that comes out in sections.
Oh, yeah. No.
And the light doesn't really work on.
You're making it sound like you're joking, but you probably you definitely have a lightsaber at home, right?
Yeah, I do.
And is it one of those, or is it one of the cooler?
We got both.
Yeah.
We got both the little, the one that comes out in sections and the, yeah, the more modern version.
There's
of
only
it.
One you can stab through your brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one with the sound effects.
Yes.
And, yeah.
It's pretty cool. I'm a wiener. Here I come. I want a lightsaber where it lets you record the sounds.
Oh,
into it.
Man, that'd be amazing.
Have you seen the Owen Wilson cut of Star Wars? Wow. Wow.
Oh, did they replace the sound effects?
Every lightsaber sound is a different wow. And there's like a whole like 3-minute video of it.
It's pretty good.
The time some people take to make those super cuts truly is amazing. I love some super cuts, man. I love those. Yeah.
Yeah. There's one with, what was it? Oh, man. I lost my train of thought there. But
my favorite one of recent memory is the one where they just replace, it's a cat instead of the Winona. Whoever played the woman in
Stranger Things?
No, Titanic.
Yeah.
So have you seen that whole channel?
Yeah.
That guy has a whole channel with his cat. Yeah, there's a Jurassic Park where he replaced the T-Rex with his cat. Yeah. But he's like really good.
Really good.
He doesn't have a lot of money, but like it's amazing what he does.
It's...
You
really
just type
impressive.
In cat Jurassic
if you
Park,
haven't
it'll
seen
be the
it,
first
please
video.
Just okay. watch
he
it.
Like he gets green screens and like spends hours coaxing his cat and like he comps them into this footage from the movie perfectly. It's
and
great.
Man, when the scene where he's like super cut this cat and it's like swinging around with Leo like they're dancing. I laugh so hard.
Yeah,
like
oh, Kate right Winslet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does this cat eat somebody off a toilet?
They didn't do that scene, but they did the rain, the one in the rain where they're on the bridge or whatever it is.
Good. Yeah, supercuts. I think that's one of the best YouTube things you can find out there.
Well, that was perfect because that's the one I was thinking about. There's a supercut of Leonardo DiCaprio, which is every scene he like...
yells in?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
But he's fucking great at it.
That's like his sweet spot.
Yeah, that's why in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, they have Tarantino made a scene just for that. Where he like fucks up with his lines and whatever, and then the next scene is him in his trailer just fucking slamming the door. He's all, "If you don't fucking get this right, I'm gonna he's gonna shoot himself in the face or whatever." Like he really goes for it, but it's so genuine. He must be like tapping into something because he's done it. Like there's a supercut of it, like 40-minute supercut of it, and it's so people know that that's one of his specialties.
Like wasn't there like a tidbit? From the once or not the ones talking about Hollywood, but Django, where he's screaming in that one too,
and he
like slams his hand down, but he's
It was it was the dinner scene where he had that skull that's getting dark, but he had that skull there on the table, and he's getting into the he gets all like method with it, and then like he's bleeding out of his hand that wasn't planned.
And he smears it on the actress's face, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
crazy. Which is
quite fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. But then they just kept it in. And there's we should make a list of supercuts of the best supercuts. But what was the one with what was the actor again?
Owen Wilson.
Yeah. So we'll get into it, man. This is Mind Grenade episode 305. We are your hosts. I'm Hector.
I'm Jason.
Matt.
Ian.
Mind Grenade is a pop culture-based show that dives into TV, movies, music, comics, and a whole lot more.
Oh, yes. So we're going to keep it just on Crossing the Streams because the Obi-Wan Kenobi series has dropped on Disney Plus. 3 episodes. And are we all caught up?
I've seen one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm all 3.
I watched the 2 this morning. I woke up early, like Christmas morning.
Yeah. So we're going to do that and then any other recommendations or streaming stuff that we've gotten into recently. But first, we'll do an update on Rotten on the Vine. So I'm going to mute Matt because I don't want to hear any.
Wait, before we continue, I need to make a correction.
Yeah.
I did not wild guess Top Gun. I figured it would be between 80 and 90, and I picked the number because it was the year that
the
was
year
between
is,
80
yeah.
and 90.
In my mind, I'm still going with a wild guess.
I was like so upset at that movie, not because I don't want it to be good, but because I was in the lead, and then Matt just fucking shot right across
everybody. I did so bad on the last one, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so Doctor Strange was the first movie, and that one... ended up with a 74. I got the closest with an 82. And then Top Gun is sitting at a 97, I thought I saw it. And Matt's the closest. Let's see. Round two. Overall, Matt's in the lead with 26. Ian second with 32. Jason's at 34. And man, see, that's why I'm at the very end now. I was at the very top with the first round with Doctor Strange. Now I'm dead last there. So we got one more movie to kind of, we're going to combine all the scores. But I had round one, Matt had round two. And we're going to wait for...
Who had the highest prediction, like score-wise, for Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park.
Oh, okay, y'all. We'll update that. So Jurassic World Dominion due out in a couple weeks.
Not Jurassic Park, you dumb shit.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jurassic World. No.
Jurassic. Such a catastrophe.
Ian's like, I did Jurassic Park Dominatrix. Is that not the right movie?
I love when the Velociraptor spanks him with the...
The Velociraptors, yeah, so cool. I thought I saw, I don't think it was a Velociraptor, but I could have sworn I saw a T-Rex in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. I don't know if I was tripping or what was going on, but...
The guy with the long snout?
There's a...
Snouty?
There's a crossover. Am I wrong? I know Matt hasn't watched all the episodes, but am I wrong? Was there not a fucking dinosaur in Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I mean, there were like dinosaur-esque creatures.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, why can't you call them a dinosaur? I mean, they both like,
it didn't
look like
it. Didn't look adjacent to it. It looked like they grabbed like one of the puppets from the first Jurassic Park and just added it into... Anyway, we'll get into it. So Jurassic World Dominion, I'm predicting a 76%. Jason's predicting a 60%. Matt's also predicting a 60%. And Ian is predicting a 69, dude.
That's right.
So, that's that dominatrix thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well...
Wait, what was yours, Hector?
76.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are almost too tight for anyone to catch me, but Hector could. Hector can't catch me either. I think I already won.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, I mean, you're... let's see.
Well, I definitely can't make any ground on you since I have your exact score.
Yeah, it makes it tough.
Yeah, so we're going to move on from that since I don't want to spend more time on that since I'm losing.
Talk about how Matt's Top Gun. Wow.
All right, let's get into some Crossing the Streams then. So it's a couple things. We'll just get into the Obi-Wan Kenobi and... Let's just go around the table and our thoughts prior, like our anticipation level, like.
Oh, I'm going to jump in real quick and say that I don't really care if anybody spoils anything.
Okay.
Because the Star Wars part of my soul is like rotting off my body.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Good. Okay. I mean, yeah.
I'm going to counter that with saying that this has brought up my like of Star Wars more again.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I had notes. Let me bust out.
Matt's unfazed.
Like I enjoy it. It's just like not like it used to be anymore. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just burned out on the whole franchise.
I just feel like this. You know, for anticipation for this one kind of coming up. Like I tried to temper my expectation, like I do with all shows, but I was more excited about this Disney release than any of the other ones of recent memory, only because it kind of hits the sweet spot for me where that 10-year gap. We just haven't seen much development, you know, between when the Skywalkers were kids and what kind of happened in between there.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a fun time period. I mean, it's between, you know, some of the movies when I was growing up and then the older movies like the originals.
It's like Star Wars Wonder Years.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of a fun, neat period. And, you know, and Obi-Wan is an interesting character.
I have a little help from my friend.
Obi-Wan.
And Ian McGregor's a great actor, so it's...
Yeah. So this is set 5 years before... Okay, let's try to fucking, like hold on for this, because this is a little bit of a complicated thing. Set 5 years before Star Wars Rebels.
Rebels, yeah.
And 10 years after The Clone Wars and Episode 3. So 10 years after Anakin became Vader.
Yes.
And and then as it reminds me, a correction for the last time we were all together, the Inquisitors predate the video game Fallen Order by 5 years on Rebels. They first appeared on Rebels first 5 years prior to Fallen Order, right?
Yeah.
Fallen Order came out in 2019, and Rebels had been out for 5 years prior to that. So, I mean, with me, the current era, the Disney era of Star Wars, I think Force Awakens was fine. My favorite out of the three new ones was The Last Jedi. Rogue One, I really enjoyed. And then The Mandalorian out of the TV shows, I enjoyed those, but everything else. And we'll get into our feelings on this, but so it's been kind of like half and half, like half of it's been decent and the other half has been like, just putting up with it. Is there anything that's been really just shitty? I mean, maybe I can't speak.
Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, man. And I can't speak for that because I haven't watched
pile
it.
Of trash.
The whole thing wasn't shitty, but it had a lot of shitty in it.
What? The only non-shitty part was when the one episode that was The Mandalorian. I refuse to call that the Book of Boba Fett. They just put an episode of The Mandalorian in the middle.
No, I just close it in.
I can't argue with that.
Kathleen Kennedy, who's been running Disney, I'm sorry, not Disney, but Star Wars for Disney, Lucasfilm. She recently, this came out, this is a couple weeks ago. She came out and said, well, we learned from Solo not to replace the classic actors with new actors. I was like, what?
That was the lesson.
I was like, I don't think that was a lesson. Because those actors, what's his name? Childish Gambino and then whoever played the Han Solo character. Alden Ehrenreich, I think is the actor's name. They were fine.
These are not replacing them. They're just a different, like, younger version of them.
Happens all the time.
Well, yeah.
They did it with Darth Vader in the first prequel.
They did fine.
And Obi-Wan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And so it was a weird thing for her to say.
She's like, I understand people.
Yeah, I understand Star Wars. That wasn't the problem with Solo. It was just not a good product, like the movie. They switched directors halfway through it. They were trying to decide back and forth, like during the production, whether if it was going to be a full-on comedy or just a little bit of humor. Or
yeah, the cinematography, the tone, the dialogue—it was all just slightly
for what?
Just not great.
Oh, Solo.
Oh, yeah. Has there been a scene in Obi-Wan yet where they're like, Obi-Wan, where have you been? He's like, but he's got to hide. So he's like, where have I been? I'm Ben. Kenobi.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's the type of writing that
I wrote that.
Solo. Yeah.
Copyrighted. Yeah. That's good. fuck everyone.
I was like, you have seen episode two. I want him to go, wait, what? No, they don't do that.
So Jason, prior to Obi-Wan, or leading into Obi-Wan Kenobi, you were excited. I mean,
yeah,
for this one, yeah,
yeah. I did not watch this the day it came out. I actually waited.
Yeah,
it was
same
like
here.
Third day or something like that. It was kind of killing me, but I just didn't have time.
On the third day, Jason.
On the third day of Star Wars, Obi-Wan gave to me one giant erection. Sorry.
No, keep going.
When you can't. You've never had a giant erection.
One Got mini him. Erection.
What about you, Hector? Did you, are you?
I was all in, man. I have critiques for the series, but I was all in. I was excited for this. This is the one I was most excited for. I also didn't watch it right away. I was getting caught up with the first season of Rebels, and I finished that, and then I was ready to go. I finished it this past weekend, so then I was ready to go for Obi-Wan. And then I binged all three, which I don't binge usually, but I binged all three yesterday morning. I was like, oh, I'll watch two, and then, you know, it was already kind of getting late for me. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm going to watch three.
It was an easy binge, right? Like, I think they did it well. It's good enough to where binging it is good. I mean, like, you can get through three very easily.
The first episode was very kind of deliberately not slow, but kind of they're steady. They weren't like just fucking rushing into a bunch of shit.
Mm-hmm. Which I appreciate that. I mean, that was really good world building.
But then it picks up. So let's just fucking get into it then.
Did you like Star Wars Rebels?
Yeah, I liked it enough. It feels like something that a father and a, like you and, mm-hmm. and your oldest son could enjoy together. Like, and I've watched
you and Matt. You guys watch it together.
Yeah.
He sits Matt on his lap. He's all right, buddy.
I'm the lap, okay?
I knew he was going to say that.
So, I mean, I've experienced it. It's fine.
So,
it's fine. It's fine.
But it was good. But the Inquisitor part of it, that was my introduction to it. And what a cool fucking design.
Isn't Kanan Jarrus?
He's in it.
In Rebels?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if he has show up in the show.
And apparently Kanan Jarrus, you know, there's a scene in one of the Star Wars, I guess that last Star Wars movie with Rey, where she's hearing other...
So
they had like a bunch of like classic Jedis kind of like talk to her and tell her she's like special or whatever. And I didn't know that character until I watched the show. What I like about Rebels though, well, primarily the design, and you see him in the game because I did look up video of the game, that fucking round disc thing, that's fucking cool.
Blade spin around, yeah.
That to me is cooler than Darth Maul's double-bladed lightsaber, because then you can get it to like fucking spin and shit. So I like that, but I also we won't spend too much time on Rebels.
Don't they do like the this is so dumb, they do like the helicopter flying thing with it, don't they?
Oh shit, I haven't seen
I
that
I feel like I've yet. Seen that in one of the games or something where hold it over their head.
I've seen about a season and a half of Rebels and I haven't seen that yet.
I don't know where that memory's coming from.
But am I right, Jason? It's kind of like it's not too much like I enjoyed it as an adult and my love for Star Wars, but then like it is appealing to younger.
Yeah, it's the way it's done. It's geared towards any age basically.
Yeah,
I actually kind of like it better than Clone Wars.
Yes. Yeah.
What better than a time period for a children's show than the end stages of a genocide?
Yeah, I know that we can get into with this show with Obi-Wan, but with Rebels, I like that they had. They have their own crew. It's not wrapped up. You do see cameos of our Star Wars characters that we grew up with, but they're letting those characters be their own little crew.
Yeah, it has a direction. It has an arc where Clone Wars is all over the damn place. Like,
okay,
with
yeah,
a lot of the different things and stories, and you feel like you're on a different planet, like every episode with different people and stuff. And
yeah,
jumping around, but yeah, I you have a subset of a crew and story.
None of them are related to a Skywalker or Solo or anything like that, which is, you know, it's okay when they do that, but like I've railed about this on this podcast, such a huge rich universe, why only stick to the same 20 fucking characters? So I like that about Rebels, but so we'll get into Obi-Wan Kenobi. So so what was it again, 10 years after so 10 years after Episode 3, and about 8 years before A New Hope, probably, something like that. 10 years before A New Hope. Because if Leia and...
I don't know canonically how old Luke is in A New Hope.
If they're going
off... Because they would be 10 years old, both of them in this.
In this, yeah. But A New Hope, if Luke is like preparing to go off to whatever he's going off to do, be a pilot or whatever, or join the rebellion or whatever, that's like somebody going to college. I mean, so about 20 years old, 18
years
old.
He talks about trying to join the academy or whatever.
Right, the academy, yes. Yeah. So, early 20s or if that.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of dead in the middle of yeah. So we'll get into it. Well, light spoilers. So if anybody's not watched it, and it starts out obviously on Tatooine, right? No, actually before that, the prelude. So you watched the first episode, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah. That fucking whole scene, they take us to Order 66.
That was a cool scene.
Yeah, because they do the Jedi temple in the same layout basically as the prequels.
Yeah.
They do a good job with it.
Maybe a little
nostalgic.
No. No, the opposite, because of a current news in our world. Yes, I was like, oh fuck! I knew that happened, and I've seen Revenge of the Sith, and I know what happens. But with recent news stuff and real life, it was a little too close to. So I was like, ugh. But But yes, it, right away, you hear Palpatine order, you know, initiate Order 66, and I go on to that. And then it goes...
Like only three more till my favorite part.
Order 69.
Order 69.
Yeah, Palpatine's a very... He's an old-ass purr.
Old, lecherous purr.
That's all he... That's why he wants all that power. Yeah. Just so he can keep being a purr.
Wow, lecherous. A-plus word, Ian. The word of the day goes to Ian.
But yeah, that's Palpatine's ultimate plan. It's not just power. He wants all that power so he can live forever to be a pervert for the rest of the time.
That's right.
Let's see. So then we see old man Kenobi on Tatooine, and he's working some fucking like job at some...
Butchering giant space.
Can we talk about
stingrays?
What is that?
Yeah.
Is it meat?
I think it's like, hey, we should do Dune. And they're like, it can't be a worm. We can't handle the lawsuit. And they're like, make it like a stingray or something.
Like, what is that?
I'm assuming it's just like a desert thing that lives under the sand.
Shmeet?
What?
Well, wasn't there like a under the ground thing on...
New Hope?
On Mandalorian?
There was, yeah. Okay. It was the whatever dragon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was my take, is that it was, there's just like a whole ecosystem under the sands of... It's Dune, but, you know, well, they can't say that outright.
Wasn't Tatooine covered in water at some point or something? I don't know.
Well, and in A New Hope, you see, like bones of, like, some serpents and shit in the background. Yeah. So, yeah, there's, like...
Do you think they'll be in, like, 6 months from now, they'll be serving that at Disney? Some, like, restaurant will open up and you can sample
It'll just be big chunks of tuna. That's all it has to be.
That's what it looked like.
It's, like, colored albacore.
Yeah. Ewan McGregor, we've brought this up, but we've asked this before, where how long, like, so episode 3 was in 2005, so we're 17 years out from that, but then this is supposed to be 10 years, so Ewan McGregor has aged 17 years since then, but
he's aged great.
Yes, I mean, he's aged gracefully.
Like a very, like, exactly who you'd want to portray.
That's
like a kind of a down on his luck Jedi, just basically trying to survive.
Mm-hmm. Once a badass, and now he's just
just him and his snout camel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they name it because I had the subtitles
it's
on.
It's a Snuffleupagus.
Yeah. That's my game plan, is to age gracefully like Ewan McGregor.
Oh, they'd be like Snuffleupagus.
Yeah.
Hey. Develop a long snout, a lot of ants.
Yeah. Hey, Bert.
He's got the eyelashes. Maybe he was born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe.
I never really thought about this until this show. But the whole, like, Obi-Wan, you must guard this boy with your life. Oh, cool. What about the girl? She's a girl, dude. Don't worry about it.
Yes, yeah. That kind of made me... I was like, what the fuck?
But it's... I mean, they're basically like, hey, you know, this is our prime candidate to be a Jedi.
But why?
Yeah, exactly. That's what was going through my mind.
You never really think about that until you're like, well, I guess that's kind of
in
weird.
In Star Wars, in a galaxy, women are really second, like...
Even though there was a bunch of women on the Jedi Council.
Yeah, it was... That bumped me. That was weird.
Yeah.
He's like, don't they make kind of some like little side references during the show about how she's just as important, as big as a hope as Luke?
Right.
Make little comments. Yeah.
But it almost kind of seemed like, so the way I kind of took it, right, is that it's more just it's 10 years. He is like afraid for his life. He feels like, you know, he's got something where he's safe and the place he's currently at. And if he knows, if he tries to go, it's going to get fucked.
Right. And you could make the argument that Leia is actually much safer as royalty in Alderaan than Luke is as a moisture farmer on Tatooine, where there's a bunch of scum.
Yeah.
So if it's anybody that really needs
public
extra guard, she is, but no one knows who she is. She's hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. It's funny. They kept showing shots of Alderaan, and I was like, you know, it's like, man, all these other fucking Corellia and fucking Jakku and all the other places suck. Like, I want to live in Alderaan.
But Alderaan is like totally like, are we watching Star Trek now?
No, like, right, what? Right. But I was watching and I was like, I want to live in Alderaan. And then I thought, wait a minute, no. Because fucking
For a period of time.
Yes.
Until the Death Star.
That's like the nicest place.
He's blown up. That's
it's
right.
The first planet that gets
spoiler,
blown up.
Spoiler alert.
If you think about it, Leia is almost protected by the Empire because she's a senator's daughter.
Yeah, but so she's force sensitive.
Sorry,
so, guys. Like, there's been hints that people can detect other force sensitive people. And also, she could just like accidentally do something in public and then
that's true.
Dead.
Yeah.
I didn't know I wanted a 10-year-old Leia to be like I following her.
Oh, this was my one gripe with the show. I'll let you finish.
Well, the acting across the board, including Ewan McGregor, I think it's a little shaky. Like across the board, everybody in it. Mm-hmm. And I like just about everybody. The girl, she's 10. I think she has points where she's good and she's like connecting, but then I'm like, oh man, there's like she still needs
more
she's too young. Training. Yeah, yeah, she's I mean, but
I tried to
but
too
I didn't know they were right. gonna focus so hard, so much on her
right.
in this series, and I'm glad they did. I didn't know I wanted that. I was like, oh shit, why not? When they started alluding to her mm-hmm. and then they just go right to Alderaan, I was like, oh, this is fucking actually pretty interesting. I didn't know I wanted this and I'm enjoying it. But anyway, Matt, sorry.
Oh, so for me, there's like two kinds when you have like something like these days where everything is like this massive series and you're constantly like exploring the nooks and crannies of the lore. There's two ways to do that. There's like one, like, okay, who are the Jedi? Where did the Jedi come from? Or like, what happened? Like, how? What was it like hiding during Order 66? And then the second part is like, how did Leia become so plucky? And like, what was her home life like? And like, that just annoys the shit out of me so much. It's so unnecessary.
Yeah.
They purposely make her stubborn and stuff to feed her personality.
It's like they show her parents parenting her and it's like this is how Leia like we don't need any of that.
No. There's a scene, I don't know if it was in the second or third episode, and this isn't gonna ruin it for you, Matt, but like Obi-Wan will like stop and have a moment looking at her, and then it reminds her of Padme, because her Obi-Wan and Padme, they had a friendship.
Yeah.
And they have little moments like that that I'm like, oh, fuck, but prequels. Which, I mean, you know, the prequels were always just kind of, you know, we kind of suffered through a lot of it. But, like, I like those little connections where he's frustrated with her because she's a 10-year-old and she's rambunctious, you know, she's plucky or whatever. But then, like, he'll stop and look at her. And then she notices something that he's looking at her a certain way. But anyway, so I like that. They're at least doing something with her that, you know, kind of showing that he had a deep relationship with Anakin and Padme. But
while we're talking about Leia, it does bring me to what I think is the worst scene in the first episode.
All right.
The scene where they're chasing her through the forest. Come on. What the fuck is that? Like, they're like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to
get you. It looked very like they were playing around with
also,
her.
Also, yes. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. What?
Yeah.
I was like, I've seen him in plenty of bit roles, but he's like.
He was in Back to the Future. He's been in another.
Big Lebowski.
Yeah. But it was like, holy shit. But then also that scene in particular. They're like having a hard time catching up to her.
Yeah, it's just like a 10-year-old child. There's four of them.
It's like almost like purposely can't catch up to her.
Yeah.
But then when like a guard shows up, they're like, boom, dead. Instantly. It's like
that's
no match. Like
the one scene, that's my only gripe for the whole thing. That's just so stupid.
Yes, that was an awkward scene. I completely agree.
The budget of the show, what do you guys think? Like, I can kind of feel it where the limitations, you see them here and there. The CG looks good for TV. If this was a theatrical release, I'd be like, nah.
Yeah, I think they spent probably like $10 million on the episode, something like that.
I'm not sure what the...
I mean, like, Ian McGregor is expensive.
It looks fine for a TV show. Yeah. But let's see.
I'm glad how they keep... They won't break away for how inefficient and just dumb as just a normal stormtrooper is.
Yeah.
Like how bad they are at their jobs. Maybe not the officer as much as the officers and some of like their captains and lieutenants, but like just your run of the mill stormtrooper. So bad. So bad at what they do.
I gotta ruin this for Matt though. There's a clone trooper that we see.
Mm-hmm. They would be all clone troopers at this point, wouldn't they?
I guess so, yeah, but there's one that's like in a city begging for change and he's got his helmet. And then he has
it played by the guy?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, and I'm glad that I'm good
who,
with.
Who was well, that again?
Boba Fett.
Jango Fett's
yeah,
clone.
Yeah. He's oh, okay. just, he's just.
It's, oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, why do I know?
Because
this
those,
face?
The clone troopers are genetically designed to age fast.
Yeah.
So most, if not all, the clone troopers would be already pretty much all retired at this point, because they stopped production of the clones right after that Revenge Episode of the Sith three, movie. Yeah. So pretty much the clone troopers would be all gone from the ranks, and it's just people they've... I think they allude to the last three movies. They just literally take people out of their homes sometimes and become stormtroopers or recruit them.
Mm. Yeah.
Come join the Empire.
Yeah, yeah. There's a scene.
Uncle Vader wants you.
There's a scene where somebody mentions that they're loyal to the Empire, and Obi-Wan and Leia are trying to like just get through, and Leia goes, yeah, the Empire's great, just kind of like just trying to, and the guy is like, yeah, you know, it's nice finding like-minded people. It's like a little law and order is a good thing. I was like, fuck, like I, you know, like they're really trying to get into like the politics of the Empire and the rebellion and stuff. But
one other thing I wanted to bring up too, you know, one great thing about the future of, you know, Star Wars at this time period, it's a great time to be a quadriplegic, really. You know, you can lose all your hands and arms, and you get metal arms and legs back. Like, look at that scene with Vader.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, putting him in. I mean, that dude, now, he would be fucked. He's a badass now.
At first, I didn't get the context. I was like, holy shit, what is happening right now?
I brought it back.
He should have got an extra arm, you know, just
for why not? Why stop at just...
Nah, that's too General Grievous.
And I'm glad to see that Vader is very much the badass that we saw in Rogue One.
Close, I think. Yeah. That's the peak Vader to me, is that scene in Rogue One. But I'm very surprised, like, you know, like they could have fucked that up so easily. I'm very happy with the Vader we got in this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's good.
James Earl Jones's voice sounds as it sounds like it was from the old movies.
It does, yeah.
Because I think in Rogue One, his voice sounded a little, he's fucking 90. His voice sounded a little shaky. I mean, he's old, so your voice is gonna like get a little rough after, you know. But this, I don't know what they did with computers, maybe, or if they did anything at all. But it sounds legitimately. It sounds so Vader.
Yeah.
In this.
My favorite Vader line of all time.
Another thing I can appreciate too is they really did a good job of kind of showing the anger that Vader has towards like Obi-Wan, and just he wants him to suffer, you know, that what he's gone through, even though I mean, it's unjust. I mean, it's not his fault at all, but you know,
he doesn't really want to kill him, he wants to torture him.
He just wants to play with him and torture him.
But then, they're showing Obi-Wan's PTSD from that whole fucking not just them losing, but him losing his apprentice, his brother, essentially, you know.
Do you think this is like some like high level shit, guys? It was his rage against Obi-Wan that drove him further and further into the dark side, and then in the first movie or fourth movie, when Obi-Wan dies, signals his point of downslope
back to the light.
I just figured out Star Wars.
It sounds like a joke, but it's not far-fetched.
No, it's not far off, because when he does die, it's almost like he has like self-reflection,
right? Because it's one movie away from taking his helmet off and saving Luke.
Because as you continue to watch this show, Matt, you can tell Obi-Wan takes somewhat responsibility for the creation of Darth Vader once he realizes who he is.
He's like, I had the high ground. I should have finished it.
No, but actually, Anakin does tell him, "You should have killed me when you had a chance."
Yeah, like, has that line ever been in another movie? That sounds so familiar. From like, "You should have killed me when you had the chance."
I'm sure that's been said in every movie,
any Western where somebody doesn't die. And
that's
comes
what
back.
Leo said to the bear in Revenant.
For real?
Shut up.
No.
It was more in like bear noises, though. Yeah,
it was also in Care Bears.
That would have been awesome. No, because I kept thinking, I was like, button. is this a line from another Star Wars movie, or is this just from like any random 1980s
from the zeitgeist?
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
My favorite line in any, my favorite Darth Vader line of all time is right here, and I think it was a redo, but here we go. Let's see if I can capture it on the. Alert my Star Destroyer. Empire Strikes Back.
That is a classic.
I love that. But I think it was a different line with the original, and then when they did the remakes, they remastered, they added that line, and I think that's just so fucking gangster.
He's like, prepare my bathroom for the largest deuce you've ever seen.
Pull up my Cadillac. Grab me the nearest hose.
I'm very, very happy with except it's a little weird. There's that third. I'll wait till Matt's caught up with it and see if he agrees with me or if he brings up any gripes with Vader at the third episode. There's he's a complete badass. They don't fuck that part up, but I think he's a little bit more of an asshole than usual.
Yeah, but this is like, I mean, his first full of time rage.
Yeah.
Coming back from being like burned and misfigured and, you know, they just... Yeah. Disconnecting him from the water healer thingy.
Yeah, back to tank. Yeah. But yeah, he looks like, I guess.
Wait, what is it called?
Back to tank.
Back to tank. Such a
nerd. I like water. How do you know I like that? Water healer.
Yeah.
The water healer. I think I got a water healer in my basement that makes the shower warm.
It's definitely not Dasani in there. We know that for sure.
Ripping on Dasani.
Yeah, I was a little surprised how far they leaned into the broken, emotionally distraught Obi-Wan in this show, which is, I think it's good. Because you don't want Obi-Wan just as he was as you left him.
Oh, okay, so Obi-Wan can be sad, but Luke can't?
No. No sad Luke.
All you Star Wars people suck.
I'm not going to defend A New Hope. I'm just saying it makes sense having him in this mindset. Because you can tell the guy has... like really held back using his force to hide. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see the fear in his eyes. You can see, like... I don't know. I just don't think he knows what. I mean, besides guarding Luke, he just seems like a lost individual, just altogether.
Now, with the. So if you don't use it, do you kind of like lose your force? Do you lose it?
If you don't use it, you kind of do lose it.
It's stupid, but isn't that kind of a thing in Star Wars?
No, I mean, he still has the ability. You see it. Yeah. But obviously, I guess if you think of a Jedi as anything else, if you're not practicing and like for the 10 years, you're probably not as strong and as good as you were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a question. Jason, I think you're the only one that can answer this. The cave that he's in, is that like the same cave he's in A New Hope? I don't even remember where he finds Ben in A New Hope.
Ooh. He just kind of comes out of nowhere. Like,
but they go to his place. That's where he shows him the lightsaber.
Right. That's right.
Hey, you want to see my lightsaber?
He's like, hey, look at this cool thing.
Stand back, it's dangerous.
I'm trying to picture what it looked like. No,
it looked like a shack.
That was my
I think it was like a literal like home kind of.
Hmm. Yeah. Just curious.
We did some upgrades to it over the years.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
we had the little
like,
R2-D2 astromech droid little thing that pops out of the sand that tells him something every time he walks in.
That made me, I was like, where's R2 right now? I don't think he was with Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan buried him in the sand.
Shouldn't he have been with the Organas?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's with
I'm surprised he didn't, does he show up? Has he shown up?
No. We've seen C-3PO, but not
That's R2. Very not C-3PO. Star Wars. They're like, look at this character you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
The world building though for the first throughout the all three episodes I thought was great, but the first one especially, like, really, I thought did a great job of just like setting the tone for the mm-hmm. series. I really love that. And I love that they didn't like rush into him using all these force powers and lightsabers, and it was that I appreciated.
I feel like part of the reason they put that first scene in, other than it helped, I like they did a recap at the beginning, like for my wife who has no idea what the fuck is going on.
I appreciate
but it allowed them to start the show with a bunch of lightsabers and fighting, and then it allowed them to have Obi-Wan not do that
for a while,
which was like more important. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that was a good choice.
Yes,
it made me appreciate the prequels again more than I, you know.
I'm kind of proud of the show for leaning into the mentally, physically handicapped, so quote unquote, Obi-Wan that we have due to
trauma,
everything that's happened.
We've seen enough miniseries of I'm a badass by this point for Star Wars stuff. It's kind of nice to have a little bit.
I'm a sad ass.
Yeah,
I'm a sad ass.
It's speaking of the prequels too. Returning cast members reprising their roles. Jimmy Smits. Proving that there's Puerto Ricans in space. We made it into space. Jimmy Smits playing Bail Organa. And then Joel Edgerton, we talked about this prior to the show, he's reprising his role as a He was pretty good in the scene that I saw him in. Plays Luke's uncle Owen.
Oh yes, yeah.
I think he was pretty good. But I think when Joel Edgerton first played Uncle Owen in Revenge of the Sith, whichever one prequel it was, he wasn't the star he is now, and he's not a huge star either. He's mostly known for indie movies, but his career wasn't where it is now. So it's kind of cool that they brought him back for this. Mm-hmm. And then James Earl Jones also.
Although it's a little weird that his uncle won't let Obi-Wan or Ben give him a toy.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Man, like he's really got this thing with Obi-Wan.
I think it's like his productivity will drop 20% if he starts playing with toys.
But isn't that like some kind of like a training toy?
It's a, well, you know what it is? It's an Easter egg because it's the same chip that he talks about targeting Womp or the
Womp
creature
rats? Womp rats or something.
He's a Womp rats.
Oh, really?
And a New Hope. Yeah, it's the exact same thing. He's going to end up flying to practice. Yes, okay. And target Womp rats or whatever it is. Womp, there's the rats or something like that.
I'm wondering when Obi-Wan finds out that Anakin's still alive. I wonder how many people in the Empire are aware that Anakin and Vader are the same person.
Ooh.
Or if that was deliberately
kept. I bet you it's concealed. It's probably just like a handful. Yeah.
Like the Emperor, obviously, yeah. And then...
It seems like the one of the Inquisitors knew.
Yeah,
seems like
that's what made me
wonder. I think they did a good... Speaking of the Inquisitors, they did a pretty good job with explaining it. Like, I feel like I didn't need any backstory or look anything up with
they,
it.
They do a tiny bit, which I like. That approach when they don't just like stop for a whole exposition dump. Mm-hmm. I like when the that's the name of this episode, exposition dump. Where was I going with this? There's some person that's like on the side of the rebellion that mentions how children that are force sensitive get taken and then you don't see them again. I'm wondering, like, your brain goes, oh, they're killing them off, but that's not it. It's probably they're turning them into Inquisitors or killing them
fail. Because
okay.
I think even from before he becomes Darth Vader, Anakin is a paranoid person. If you think about it, he's always been kind of worried about, he's so obsessed with losing Padme. He gets so obsessed with these things that he may or may not. So he's probably, if you think about obsessed, he doesn't want force sensitive good people to stand up against him. I'm sure he's paranoid of losing the power.
He's also obsessed with sand.
Yeah.
It gets everywhere.
He's going to be, aware of the balance issue, right? I mean, if he's the most powerful, there's going to be someone come up.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
As of right now, yeah, he's got all the power. So,
yeah. Can we talk about the Rotten Tomato score on this?
Oh, I didn't see it.
So,
the 80s maybe or something?
Critics 87. Okay. The audience is the one that's surprising on this one.
Anyone lower?
Want to take a crack at it?
Really?
Yeah. I saw it.
Just the way you're laying it out, it's lower.
Yeah.
Really?
It's 56.
Wow. I wonder where that's coming from.
I honestly think it's probably coming from it just didn't tickle people's Boba Fett. Fancy,
yeah.
Or like the Mandalorian. You know, everyone wants a gunning and shooting. I feel like this one. I actually agree with the critic score. I mean, maybe not an 86.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'd give it like a B.
This reminds me. I saw a meme the other day. It was like a picture of two people fighting, like hardcore. Like one of them is like hitting them with like a chair or something. And then there's a person on the sidewalk sitting in a chair eating popcorn, and all three are labeled as Star Wars fans.
Yeah. Yeah. I've posted this on social media the last couple years. Star Wars, I was taking a shot at Harry Potter fans, but Harry Potter fans have eclipsed Star Wars fans for level of annoyance because everybody's got their fucking, like, you know, every couple months the Last Jedi is trending on Twitter, and it's people. One person says they like it, and then 50 people are saying it's bullshit, and then it just trends, and it's like, it's got a, and then it gets toxic with, you know, and it's the same. It's been like that with Star Wars for probably in the last 10 years. It kind of reached a point of where people just need to be fucking annoying about it and take it too seriously. And Harry Potter just got there in the last, within the last 5 years, got to that point where it's not just a show anymore or a movie or a book or whatever. It's like they take it too fucking serious where they got to get fucking toxic about it on social media. And I don't know if that, was a review bomb situation or what it is. If the show's too diverse or whatever the fuck's going on, but like it's not. In the fifth, like,
no, not at all. When I saw that, I was like, that's strange. Like, I did not expect that.
Going Rotten Tomatoes, I'd go probably somewhere between, like, yeah, like late 70s, early 80s, somewhere in there, maybe somewhere. Like, yeah. I mean, and we still have to watch the rest of the season.
But so far, it's been good. Yeah.
I could make some guesses of what some diehard Star Wars fans feel like they have to drag every little.
Let's hear it. Episode, I want to hear it.
But, huh?
What do you think is one critique that would lead audience?
I mean, there's already a woman on the show.
Oh my goodness.
There it is.
Well, okay, so all right. So what did you think of Kumail Nanjiani's character?
What? Kumail Nanjiani's in this show? Mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing when I get home.
I don't know.
So here's the thing. So like you say, okay, so there's this character that's pretending Matt said it's okay. Okay, so there's a character that's pretending to be a Jedi, one of the most hunted people in this entire universe, just for some money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I could tear some of these plot things apart. I could point out some things that don't follow some of the first three movies. It's things like that, but like I don't take Star Wars to that level because it doesn't do anything. It just ruins it for me. Mm-hmm. It's like,
I was okay with that idea of that character, but I was not okay with him as it, because I feel that it took me out of Star Wars.
He's so recognizable.
Yes. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay.
Kumail.
Yeah.
Is anyone else worried that he's Chris Prattifying his career?
Yeah. Yes.
He got all buff. 100%. Yeah.
Makes me sad.
He's like very full.
He was one of my favorite comedians.
Mm-hmm. I loved him on the HBO show Silicon Valley, and even before that. Yeah.
That is a perfect way to explain it. Yeah. 100% Chris Pratt.
And like, you know, the what we see happens to the Grand Inquisitor, and we know. What from Rebels? Like, yeah. I mean, you could continuously say.
I'm wondering if that's part of it too.
Yeah, you could continuously just like I could.
No, that's go not through my all Star Wars.
It's like, yeah, that kind of stuff. It's like, well, and then he doesn't look exactly the same as he does in Rebels, and blah blah blah, and whatever. I mean, the show is pretty good. I don't need to take it to that level.
Yeah,
like I'm enjoying it for what it is.
You know, on the flip side of that too. Our feelings on Rise of Skywalker or any of the other newer movies. Like, I'm not going to like it just because of Star Wars, but I'm also not going to fucking hate on it just because it's not the movie I wanted.
Yeah. When I stop taking a forest and then taking one tree and then looking in the hole and be like, see this bark right here? Mm-mm. Can't have this. Like, just look at the fucking forest. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's fine. Like, it makes sense. It kind of makes sense that Leia knows who he is, because why would she call on him by name in A New Hope, right?
Well, it's because they're meeting now.
Yeah, exactly. So this story makes sense. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
the story makes sense that she's had some sort of previous relationship with Obi-Wan. Otherwise, she's not saying, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope, because she doesn't know who Obi-Wan is.
Right.
He's not protecting her. So, and... It seems like Luke kind of has a relationship with him later, but doesn't really even know who he is.
Do you think she sent out like hundreds of those to other Jedi, but the other ones just turned out to be dead, so it was only Obi-Wan, and we took it as like this choice that she made?
She sent it to Yoda, but Yoda sent a no reply. Yoda's like,
come, I will not. Come. Die, you will.
The stuff that I do like, the little things, like they send out probe droids, those ones that are the little bulbous things with the tank legs. They show them being shot into space out of like some fucking giant device. And I was like, that's fucking cool. I've never seen that before. Like, I know what those are. Mm-hmm. You don't see you see them as pods at first, and then they shoot out, and then you see them break out of the orbit of whatever planet it was.
I didn't realize they had such a range.
And then finally you see one show up later, you're like, yes, I get that reference.
So apparently the pro droid
launchers have like light speed capability? Because like, how the hell do they?
I guess so.
See, this is what I could do, and I'm not going to do it. Okay, like because when you
couldn't they just shoot those through ships then?
Yeah, and... because in Empire Strikes Back, you see one being shot onto Hoth, but it's from a Star Destroyer, right? Don't you see a probe droid being deployed?
Yeah.
But, and short range.
These were shot from planet side. The ones we saw in Obi-Wan. Yeah. But yes,
Did they make a spice reference in this too?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he goes into a literal place where they're manufacturing spice.
Yeah.
So we continuously have this little spice. Huh. I call it a drug, I guess. Reference. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but
because what is Death Sticks versus, you know, spice.
If you don't know what a death stick is,
you gotta go to. You should go to what is the Disney Park Star Wars thing?
Yeah, right.
And just stand in alleys and come out when people are by you, like, "Hey, do you got any death sticks?"
You think that would? Yeah, would you get arrested?
You got any spice? Yeah. Well, are they gonna like search
you?
Like,
what? A guy can't role play around here?
Yeah, they find death sticks on you. Hey, I guess death sticks aren't really illegal, so we're just gonna let you go. Get out of here.
It's just like a cardboard box that you wrote on Sharpie death sticks. Like, what are these, sir? I don't know. I've never seen that in my life. Someone else put those there.
I mean, Obi-Wan literally drugs people in this show.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. One thing that...
And they look like they're having a good time.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. There's one shot of Vader's castle that... Because we've seen Vader's castle in Rogue One was the first appearance of it in canon, I guess, in film. But we get a shot of it here, and I think this is a better shot of it. Like, it was a more epic-looking shot of his castle. It looks fucking dope. There's this whole backstory. You can find it on YouTube where somebody breaks down. I guess in the comics, they get all into how he built. He goes back to Mustafar and then builds the castle right near the spot where he got all...
It's totally a robot chicken bit. I could see that.
Yeah.
Make it meaner.
That's what it totally, yeah. But yeah, there's in the comics they broke down how
Mustafar,
Palpatine. Oh, and
isn't
then
that Simba's father.
Well, I know it sounds. I was just going to say it sounds like something from Lion King.
When I was doing the research on his castle, there's natives on that planet called Mustafarians. So I'm just picturing you know, a Rastafarian style kind of.
They're saying Mustafar, and there's somewhere there's hyenas going,
"Hey man, what you waving that red stick around for?"
Say it again, Mustafar. Mustafar.
Mm-hmm. So that the Vader's castle is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just it's so cool. So many cool designs. And I've brought this up before in the podcast. We're going to wrap it up here in a second. But like, I've brought this up before in the podcast. But then I don't know if any of you guys kind of like challenged my take on this, or if it was somebody else. But like, so many cool designs. I know it's a Macquarie, I think, was the artist, the original concept artist on Star Wars. Had so many good fucking the Star Destroyers or the Death Star or the Millennium Falcon or the TIE Fighters or the X-Wings. Fucking sweet fucking designs. Different, like, in contrast to, like, the ships in Star Trek. In the Star Trek, they're kind of hokey, kind of, you know, we've grown to like those designs over time with nostalgia and stuff. But the Star Wars designs from the get-go were fucking cool. And we've become accustomed to Vader's kind of what he looks like and some of the other characters. But
did you get to the Star Wars Rebels episode where you get to see the origin of the B-Wing?
I don't think so.
One of the designers of the actual B-Wing. Do you know what I'm talking about? The B-Wings, the ones that were the cabin, the whole ship can rotate around the cabin. So the ship can be like this, or it can be up and down, and then there's the little wings that come out. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't gotten to that part. But yeah, just all kinds of, I mean, I've only named like a small amount of like. I mean, they have so many. Like,
there's so many ships. That's a sweet fighter.
The Naboo fighter, the one that Amidala, that chrome silver looking jet. That's fucking cool. Like, there's so many cool things. But people have challenged me before. Like I said, I don't know if it was one of you guys, but like, there is some weird shit too. Like when you take a scan in a cantina, and you see interesting alien designs, but and then the you see a werewolf. Man. Yes, that's what it is. They'll throw in some random fucking... Now, at the beginning of this recording, when we started recording this podcast, there's one of the bounty hunters. There's a bounty hunter show up eventually, I think in the third episode, maybe the second episode. But one of them's a fucking full-on T-Rex, man. Like, the upper body looks like...
I'm going to have to go back and try and find
Does he have wee
again.
Little arms?
Is that something they encounter, someone they encounter on the street?
Yes.
Is it like a sentient, you're talking like a sentient being.
It's like an alien, but yeah. His upper body looks like.
I might know what you're talking about. Is it like on the streets of, what's the planet, the first planet they go to?
No, this is on the planet that looks like Corellia, but I don't think it's Corellia. It looks all fucking just urban decay and shit.
Okay.
With neon shit in the background.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the streets are full of fucking crazy aliens and shit, but one of them, one of the bounty hunters, shows up and then follows them onto the rooftops. But he has the upper body.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's who I'm talking about. Yeah.
It doesn't look like they were trying to make a
Yeah, it's like, how is he shooting that gun?
Yeah, he's very lizard looking because it like even more so than like Bosk.
That's what I was gonna say. Bosk looks like an alien lizard type of reptile alien. This looked like they took a puppet from Jurassic Park and then threw it on top of somebody's body.
Yeah.
And didn't bother too much to try to like add extra shit. Yeah.
Did Chris Pratt show up and do that stupid thing where he like squats down and puts his hands up? Yeah, right. In every fucking trailer.
At one point, Obi-Wan's like, Leia, don't move. He can't see you if you don't move.
Mm-hmm. Why is Chris Pratt here?
One last thing.
The Chris Pratt. I'm fairly certain Chris Pratt stole that like thing from who was that? Like the world renowned animal guy that died from the stingray, Steve Irwin.
I think it's just kind of like you get low and then you put your hands out. And you're like, hey.
There's a scene where a fucking stormtrooper gets halved.
Yes.
You guys remember this?
I like that part.
Yeah, that was fucking cool. I wasn't expecting that. But
got Darth Mauled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we'll expect that Stormtrooper to come back at some point. With 30 robot years from now. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of disfiguring, do you think Darth Vader has genitals? They would, right? I mean,
no,
would.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I actually was thinking about this earlier. I was like, do you think it's a robot?
A robot junk?
Well,
no, but if you think what? Like a mechanical dick and balls?
Why would he need that though?
But no. Like if he'd lost everything like from burns and stuff, why would you need mechanical? There's a lot of biomechanical parts that in Star Wars. Basically, you lose anything, you can get replaced.
He thought it was rad. He like pulls his pants down and like steam blows out the side. Like,
he's like, check this shit out. Make it blow more steam. Build me another one.
But when he unveils it, it also breathes through like a scuba gang. It's like,
oh, it's but much higher pitch.
Well, I think we finished.
That's it. Let's just leave it at that.
I mean, I finished.
Yeah. Oh, God. Jesus. All right. Well, we'll have to save any more Crossing the Streams recommendations and stuff for the next episode. So we'll have to wait for the next couple episodes of Obi-Wan to find out if Vader has mechanical junk.
Mm-hmm.
I find your lack of dick disturbing.
shout out to us. This podcast has turned 8 years old. So, hooray for this, for us keeping steady. Thanks to you guys for fucking, just
bringing up Darth Vader's dick.
Yeah, keeping it interesting. I wanted to give a shout out to Brent and Steven of Let's Talk About Stuff. Those guys have been super supportive to us here, and they have a great show, and they're covering The Matrix. I think they just wrapped up. I was on there for Revolutions, and they just released an episode for Resurrections. Check out Let's Talk About Stuff, and also check out Listen Impossible. What's going on over at your guys' podcast there?
We're not going to have an episode this week. However, the last episode, I don't think we talked about the last episode, we had an awkward theme to it. So I gave these guys some very awkward situations, and I would ask Matt and the fellas, what would they do? Such as if you accidentally opened your neighbor's package and it was a dildo, was one of the situations. What would Matt do? And he just said, I would just use it.
So, but anyway, we also talked about how often you should wash your jeans amongst. And we talked about what is bicycle face. So, next episode's going to be a Disney episode. It's going to be very interesting. So, nice. Look forward to that.
All right. So, let's listen to Impossible and let's talk about stuff. You can find those anywhere finer podcasts are found. And let me make sure I don't forget anything here. I think I got everything. You know, when we come back, I want to talk more decorum. I want to talk Strange New Worlds. Have you been watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds?
I haven't, no.
Spoiler alert, it's fucking good. Like, nostalgia aside, it's a fucking solid show. It's a show, it's the Star Trek it's the type of Star Trek show you want Star Trek to be. It's surprisingly, it's exceeded my expectations. So we'll get more into that later. So, all right. So, let's see. This has been... It's not like I haven't done this for the last 8 years. I need my notes here.
Does the Star Trek show start with the Aladdin song? A whole new world.
Yeah, right away, yeah. And then Pinocchio shows up and Little Mermaid shows up. And
it's a whole lot of murder. And
Yeah. We talked about that, right? That Patton Oswalt filibuster, nerds filibuster thing where he just starts combining Star Wars and Marvel. All right, so thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. This has been Hector for Ian, Matt, Jason, and Snuffleupagus saying so long, and we'll talk to you soon.